welcome to this very special edition of the Inner Side Radio. They're all special. We're going to call this one the Happy Hydrocodone Holiday Gift List Extravaganza. Usually, around this time of year, I'll do something uncharacteristically stupid, like walk off a building or set myself on fire, or my personal favorite from 2007, detonating a homemade New Year's Eve explosive device in my hand, or whatever, and then I end up wandering home after a night in the emergency room full of stitches and hydrocodone, usually about an hour before I have to go on the air. This year is no exception, but kind of odd since I tried to cut my hand off at work. I usually limit brutalizing myself and all outrageous and ill-advised activities to my spare time. I lead a double life. When I clock in at work, I become the Mr. Rogers of safety, and for good reason. I spend a good part of the day wrestling with high voltage and large machines with sharp whirling blades that can render half a cow into hamburger patties while you're still shaking the ketchup bottle. That's why one of the favorite parts of my job is to change the burnout lights. It's totally zen. What could go wrong? But I guess after you've replaced 10,000 or so fluorescent tubes, there's one out there with your name on it, waiting for you. What are the odds that one would fall, even longer odds that would miraculously catch it in midair, just as it was shattering against the ladder? So now I just have a handful of razor shards plunging into my flesh, and the blood is just streaming out, and it's literally bouncing off my fingers that are just like dangling there, and then flailing and just splattering. You know how people say, oh man, I got cut really deep and I didn't even feel it. No. I felt that this hurt. This hurt so bad. I couldn't even scream. I'm just gasping and reeling, and of course, I'm on a fucking ladder. And then I made the mistake of looking at it, and I could see all the bones and the muscles, and it really was like a badly, way overdone zombie movie. So I jump down and wrap a rag around it, and now I'm making like blood footprints, like in, you know, the CSI. Grab the first person I see, and off to the emergency room. So now I'm like dripping my way into the emergency room. We pull this rag off, and the emergency room doctor goes, "Oh my God, that is so unprofessional." And she can't try and stop the bleeding until all the glass is pulled out, which took like an hour. She's jamming the Novocaine in, and you know, I can hear callus scraping. And she couldn't get it all. Some of it's still in there. Well, she stitched it up. I got to go back this week, and they're going to cut the rest of it out. I'm looking forward to that. And once again, what are the odds that after all the stitches are in, and it's all wrapped up, and I'm hammered on emergency room narcotics, and it's 2 hours before I have to go on the air? So it's a good thing I subscribe to the Barry Crimmins Emergency Radio Rescue Bailout Service. Barry's just a phone call away. I crank up my magical duct tape phone recording device, get Barry on the line, piss him off a little instant radio show. It's a fine service. Barry's a pro. Highly recommended. And all I have to do is mail him a handful of expired milk thistle every now and then to keep his liver going until the next time I step in front of a bus in Juarez without a parachute. It's a great deal. Everybody wins, especially the folks over at the health insurance racket, who are some of my biggest fans.
I understand that to back to Boston, where that's the original scene of the crime, doing some stand-up again.
Yeah, absolutely.
I heard you wiping them out, knocking them dead. The king is back.
That is crazy, crazy, crazy talk.
So you left them insane.
I was lucky that I could follow Dennis Parent and Aaron Judge, who are very, very funny people who who just absolutely eased the way for me and made it great fun to be back on the stage, sharing my thoughts with the Merkins. Did we have an official drink for the tour? O'Doul's and vodka?
I like it.
The drink is called the Everybody's Happy for a While. I had to go back to work because I've had financial reversals. My book, Coping with Your Dog's Bisexuality, didn't do as well as I expected it to.
You pitched it to the wrong circles.
You know, I tried to find work. It's tough to find work in the United States now. I mean, the only jobs you can get are like Anvil delivery man and things like that. But so I started interning at as a toll booth attendant at a runaway truck ramp. And I had the hard job because I had to hand out the tickets. I had the entrance.
Yeah, that's you got to be fast.
But then I bought into it. I got good, and they sucked me in. It wasn't really a job. It was like I could buy a franchise. So I bought a couple of franchises. The only ones were available were in Nebraska and Kansas, and you know,
or Houston, right?
So anyway, I had to go back into stand up, and that's what I'm doing.
So are you going to be doing the road again, or are you just going to, like...
Yeah, you know, I'd love to do Houston if there's something to do there, and I don't, you know, but I'd like to do, like, a club or a little theater or something like that, not a comedy club, because I don't like to get that stench on me. Where are you from? What do? You're a homosexual. Why do women go to the bathroom in pairs? I'm pretty sure it's because they get hassled by drunk men. Mm-hmm. You know, the problem with this world is... Well, younger. When I was younger, the world was 99% based around people like me. But now it's only 97% based around people like me. What's up with that?
Yeah, what's up with that? I couldn't handle all the dick jokes. Really base stuff. But it wasn't, you know, if we'd have been around like a 55, rusty 55-gallon drum burning old rat carcasses and drinking Sterno, it would have been perfect.
Right.
But not like...
Well, that's the fourth guy in a row that did the corn and the feces material. That's
so this is normally our war on Christmas.
Well, you know, I've taken out a couple of mangers. I don't like to talk about it. But, I mean, I'm in the middle of a war zone here. It's hunting season. And where I live, literally, there are people killing stuff for various seasons longer than in any other part of the country. They're always killing something. It just goes on. I mean, you know, I like some of the guys. They're feeding their families, and I get along with them. I talk to them, and plus they're, you know, they're humorous. They're those guys. I ran into one of these hunters the other day. It's like, he's the ass end guy. No matter what he does, it's about the ass. You know, it's like, pull the ass end right up here. You know,
right.
I ain't going to cornhole you. It's always like some, like, you know, I don't got the Hershey squirts, like, really detailed. Again, it's like being in a comedy club, actually, now that you mention it.
I thought about sending you some exploding squirrels or something that, you know.
Well, you know, that'd be fine. That'd be fine. Well, no, except it's tough on the squirrels. You know,
not if they're all plastic.
Scooter, I could tell you've been injured and you seem a bit subdued. Usually you bring the energy to these discussions we have, so.
It did take, I tried to chop my hand off at work last night. And
yeah.
Luckily I did not succeed, but, you know. Yeah, they were digging it. Yeah, it was quite a few stitches. It was real. I went to the clinic.
Lose one of those valuable fluorescent lights.
Yeah, I grabbed the fluorescent light in midair for you listeners. That was awesome.
Uh-huh.
You know, broke right where my hand was. Of course. You know.
Your hands have taken a beating over the last couple of years, Scooter.
Well, you know, I just washed them. I can't do a thing with them.
Well, you're falling apart. You are. I occasionally get these furtive messages from you. When you just returned from the doctor, it's never good.
So they gave me a bunch of narcotics at the emergency room, and then I went into this clinic for the Workman's Comp thing, and it's a drug testing place, you know?
Oh, man.
But it wasn't actually part of what they do for the company that I work for. But everybody else was there for drug tests. I was just in there for...
You're clearly on fluorescent bulb inhaler.
You've been doing hammered on narcotics, taking a blood test, you know, looking for a little bit of marijuana.
Yeah. Fool them. They found a lot. It's a very dangerous drug. Some people smoke it just once and go directly into politics.
If they don't inhale.
Scooter, yeah, we always talk, you know, I know you have opinions about religion and so on.
Right.
thinking about the Bible the other day. You know, what's the most well-known Bible? You know, there's different versions of the Bible. What's the most well-known one?
The KJ.
The King James.
Yeah.
Correct. Yes. It's the King James Bible. This makes me doubt the whole thing. The King James Bible. Like, Jesus doesn't even get a mention, you know? It's not even like with Jesus Christ. It's just like the King James. I mean, you don't suppose King James had any editors working for him, do you? Probably not. No, change that to render under, not me, change it to Caesar. It's a little subtler.
Yeah. Well, the King James Version, of all the James Bibles, that was the king.
Yes, absolutely.
And Jesus is too much of a pauper, you know, just a bit player. You know.
That's right. You know,
not the right kind of royalty.
Doesn't have the corporate sponsorship necessary.
So I got my Christmas list going here.
Oh, well, let's hear what your Christmas list
is. My first one is a Firestone steel-belted condoms for Julian Assange.
You know, I don't think the case against him will hold water.
it's going to leak, huh?
I think that the encouraging part of this case, it does prove that in certain applications, the United States is interested in high-speed railroad.
You know, whenever you're sleeping with someone who claims to be a Swede, the dark mustache would probably clue you off that this was a Miami
right.
Cuban. You know, that used to work for the used to work for the CIA.
Yeah.
So, anything else on Julian? What do you think about Julian? It's,
okay. Here's what I think. I don't step on me. I don't care what anybody else thinks because you've asked me now. If you do a Google search on WikiLeaks target, you use those two words, it kicks back American power. And, you know, that's what, so, and then that's what everybody's talking, oh, they want to ruin American power around the world, and WikiLeaks is targeted. And WikiLeaks is targeted at American power, but what the American power is targeted at is what should be the actual power in this country, and that's an informed electorate. And we don't get it from an embedded press corps who have sold us out and forgotten what their job is because they've been bought up with cheap cigarettes at the commissary and a free pass to the officers' club. So WikiLeaks is getting information to people that are doing what journalists should be doing. They've embarrassed the media. And so the media can talk about, oh, this is treasure, but I mean, what they're really saying is they've embarrassed us by doing our job and informing the electorate. And then they talk about it like they're getting it to the enemies of America. And so, I mean, no, they get it to the enemies of the people who have usurped American power, you know, the power elite, the enemies of that, and that is us. We've met the enemy, and it's us. We, the people, are the enemy. And so that's the enemy Julian has targeted, and all the people involved in this have targeted the American people. We are the enemies that are getting this information. But the problem is, no one's paying any attention to it because they're all sitting around answering polls on CNN about whether or not we should lighten up the laws on lynching in cases like the WikiLeaks one. So
yeah, I need somebody, you know, that I trust, like, you know, somebody on the level of like a Christopher Hedges or something like that to go through all that stuff and tell me what to read. Because I'm like all the other Americans. Which one of these 250,000 documents?
But I mean, no one's going to read all of them. But I mean, you can certainly read enough of it to know. Like this is no surprise to anybody. I mean, as if they're leaking this information and no one knows. You remember the great old Doonesbury comic from towards the end of U.S. military involvement in Southeast Asia, when Nixon had his quote-unquote secret bombings of Cambodia,
right.
And there's a younger Cambodian guy standing in among this rubble with these, and the old guy says, "Secret bombing? There's no secret around here. Everyone knew about it."
It never
is. You know, that's WikiLeaks. You know, everybody knows about it all over the world. The only people who don't know about it are the American people.
That's right.
So you know, it's a secret bombing. You know, like, how can you have a secret bombing?
Yeah, they invest a lot of money in media advertisement and public relations to make sure that we stay the dumbest, you know, most ignorant of what the heck's going on.
Yeah.
The system is set up in such a way that we're working or driving most of the time. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you know, that's the thing about working. I mean, this is where the stupidity comes from, and I'm glad you reminded me of this. The stupidity does definitely emanate from talk radio, because for all the cable news networks and the panic over Fox and all that stuff, you know, a very small number of people watch that. But the number of people who listen to talk radio is enormous. And they listen to it. And when do they listen to it? In traffic in the morning, and then they go and they work with a bunch of scared, backstabbing people who are all turning each other in to try and save their own jobs and dancing to these serial bully middle management punks who push everybody around, and they just sit there and seethe all day doing all the jobs that all the people who used to do but got laid off or fired or canned or whatever the euphemism is for. They're stuck doing not only their own job, but now they have to do everybody else's job, so they're like overloaded, their day is terrible, and they sit and they stare at a computer terminal all day. They don't really see people except once in a while, maybe at some awful meeting where they have to listen to suck-ups kiss the ass of these horrible middle managers, and then they get back in their car and they're furious and their life sucks and they're getting less money and their health benefits are worse, and they get in the car and they turn on the radio and they're in a traffic jam, and the guy on the radio sounds exactly like someone else who's in a traffic jam and is as pissed off as they are, and no matter what that moron says, they're going to go along with him. And so the next thing you know, Barack Obama was born in a spaceship over Kenya, and these nitwits believe it. And that's my version.
We even have local Houston radio that's like that. The city's big enough. We've got our own
nuts. Oh, sure.
But they're all on the air here. Michael Savage, Medved.
Yeah, I try not to say their names. Or talk about them that much. I mean, you know, Beck.
Don't say it three times in the mirror.
Well, I mean, okay, Beck. First off, Beck, you know, like this Beck guy, like someone said to me a while ago, I think he might be crazy. You know, what was the hint? His conversion to Mormonism as an adult? Do sane people suddenly get this hankering to have a whole bunch of secret grandmothers and wear magic underwear? I don't like talking about that. I like the whole Tea Party stuff, sort of like a publicity stunt for nasty old people. It's like the last revenge of the quote-unquote greatest generation. They defeated fascism so they could bring it home and help implement it with Joseph McCarthy. This Tea Party nuts. If you were in a park and you just ran into one of them and you had your dog with you and your dog jumped up or misbehaved a little bit, the person would just out of nowhere come over to you and start giving you free advice. Say, you know what you got to do with that dog? You got to whack it right in the nose. Whenever it does, that's what the dog needs. It needs and it wants it. It needs it. It'll be thankful to you if you'll just smack it right in the nose with a newspaper. That's who these Tea Party people are. They're dog beaters, okay? That's who they are. Not every one of them, but plenty of them are dog beaters. And, you know what you gotta do with that? When I was a kid, my father used to hit me in the head with a board, and that didn't do any damage. I turned out pretty well, didn't I? So that's what you have. So these people, we know who they are. They're the dog beaters. They're the kid beaters. And what do we say to them after that? We say, well, we know where you stand on kids and dogs. How do you feel about foreign policy? Who cares? You know, who cares? Just hold on a little while longer. They're all going to die. The clock is running. Goodbye.
I'm almost willing to come out against Medicare because of these people, you know. I mean, not only are they beating your dog, but they're beating it with an oxygen tank, you know, and running it over with their...
Four people at the rally if they weren't for free larks from the government.
With the free scooters and, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the scooters. Okay, let me see. Next on my list, a pair of adult ovaries for Barack Obama. Because his testicles aren't working out for him.
That's just a sad story, isn't it? Well, you know, I mean, he's the first black president, like the 32nd one from the Ivy League. And guess which takes precedence? Old school tie guy. You know, this deal he's talking about is making permanent disenfranchisement of millions of poor souls whose unemployment benefits have already expired. Yeah. These people are going to get these tax breaks forever. And by the way, that tax deal... The taxes they're giving us a break on for the next year are Social Security taxes. So what they're doing, they're undermining Social Security, taking money away from that, so that in a year or two the Republicans can say, see, there's even less money in the fund that we project by next
Didn't
week.
Work.
The thing is going to, we're going to lose the whole thing unless we put it in the stock market tomorrow. You know, that's, they're going to steal the last few dollars that Americans get. So that when we're old, we have enough money to maybe, you know, drink ourselves to death with dignity when combined with the prescription drugs that they're not going to allow us to have anymore either.
No, I don't know.
And by the way, going back to WikiLeaks, I'm calling for a ban on Joe Lieberman. Let's just leave it at that.
Well, that goes in nicely with I have a gift for the American Progressive Movement. The American Progressive Movement for Christmas, the complete unabridged biographies of Martin Luther King and Gandhi with all the pacifist crap torn out.
You're always a French Revolution man.
Well, and look, on C-SPAN, I see four guys, right? This is just like a few days ago. This is why I'm thinking of this. Is that one of them was the chief financial advisor for George Bush. Another one is a preacher. And then there's a Wall Street guy. And then some, you know, pundit clown. You know,
right.
This is on C-SPAN. And they're sitting there for an hour and a half talking about the moral decay of the United States. And I'm looking at this, I'm going, how is it these people are not being dragged out onto the street and executed?
Well, maybe just pistol whipped.
I don't get it. I mean, how can these people be on my television?
And now, to show your support in the battle for freedom against terrorists, please rise, remove your pants, and join in the singing of our national anthem.
Turn on CNN, repeat, I support the troop 10,000 times, you ask too many questions.
By the way, will delousing Tom DeLay before he goes to jail be capital punishment? And by the way, I think the Tea Party should merge with the snake-handling Christians.
Absolutely.
Just to keep the spectacle factor high leading up to the 2012.
If the snakes don't work, we can always give them Bibles drenched in LSD. That would be fun.
You know, and if they don't want them, you can send a few to my house. I'd be happy to make sure nothing happens to them. So I was still speaking less on religion. You know, the Pope has now said that he's acknowledged that condoms may help in the fight against DNA evidence. So.
I had to think about that for a minute.
That's okay. They have you on pain medication, and that's for a reason. You should be on it all at all times. I think maybe one of the big boons the Republicans can get for the economy is if Mitch McConnell goes out and buys a chin. That's what we should get him for Christmas, is a chin. Because apparently, I don't know, after years of having those scrotums hit it, it just got worn out.
Oh, teabagger jokes.
Happy holidays, communist! Happy holidays, godless bastard!
A Bill O'Reilly vibrator for Christine O'Donnell?
Absolutely. Maybe a little loofah from Billy.
How about, let me say, I'd like to send NPR and MSNBC the complete writings of Edward Said and Robert Fisk and a photo of Rachel Corrie.
Yeah, well, sure.
I just threw that one out there because I didn't want the year to end without being called anti-Semitic. So,
speaking of,
they've given up on me though. I don't get death threats or insults or anything anymore.
No, it's you're too busy cutting yourself up. You know, it's like everything else now. You know, it's a service economy, and you got it's a self-service economy. Basically, it's a service economy, except when you and I need anything done, and then it's a self-service economy. I don't know how that. I'll tell you this whole going back to the WikiLeaks thing. It's too bad the government doesn't know what we know, and that's like we know how to talk as if the government's listening. And to me, I like to say things that the government will hear. You know, I mean, it used to be that we'd have to organize hundreds of thousands of people to go march on Washington and hope that somehow the government would hear our message. Now, if you want the government to hear what you're saying, all you need to do is have a friends and family plan.
Right, or a Facebook page.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I just try to keep the thing so horrible that if I disappear, they'll look bad.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, maybe he disappear with some of those Bibles full of LSD, and we'll have to, there'll be years of programming on those. Maybe get rid of the stupid Sarah Palin, you know, hunting porn show.
Oh, yeah, she needs one of those Bibles.
Oh, boy, does she ever.
Yeah. You know, I don't even know if you'd be able to tell the difference.
Yeah, well, I mean, just
her speeches would sound the same.
It's like some people just can't stand listening to somebody with a head-cracking voice like hers. Yes, if somebody got hung up this time, like, yeah, they did it. They never can get the sound system right for her, you know? I mean, there's not one person who knows how to properly plant a lavalier mic on her, so she's just God,
dogs for 30 miles around come flocking.
Oh man, she's just a head cracker. And she is.
What's even funnier is reading a transcription of something that she was trying to say. That's even weirder than her voice.
Norm Crosby meets Satan. So I'm going to close. You know, I'm going to have to draw the line here on this interview. But,
okay.
You know, you're obviously drugged.
Right.
And, so I'm just going to close by asking this. Is there anyone in this country who's not on a journey these days? Every single person. Our journey of opening the coin-operated laundromat. Just like, no matter what, are these shows where, you know, the journey of remodeling the $5 million house is a living room, or the journey of buying a third summer home, or whatever. Like, who cares, you know? Self-aggrandizing bores. It's not a journey. You just bought a house. Shut up. It's not some like, it's not like you know, like, it's not a Greek epic. It's some rich guy doing whatever they want and then pompously overblowing it as if it's something I'm interested in. Shut up.
We had arrived. Yeah, thinking about that, you know, I just wish I'd have went somewhere.
You wish you'd gone somewhere? Where?
On a journey.
Oh, on a journey.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, I'm just sitting. I missed it.
All right, so I want to wish you the lariest of holidays.
Okay.
And to all my friends in the Houston area, It's such a great town, in spite of, you know, the people who live there. The Al Jazeera news on the radio, and I feel really threatened by it. I really do.
But
God forbid you'd hear the local version. Again, you know.
It's great.
Al Jazeera's just another, you know, another, that's just another, you know. No secret over here.
Right.
Everybody was talking about it. You can hear those bombs go off, you know. You know, next time I'm going to have to try this, but I'm going to get you to drink beer.
No, I can't do that anymore.
Okay. I'll tell you what. When my performance is at stake, I don't care about your liver. It doesn't matter. I can die vicariously through you. Well, at least we're having a good time, aren't we?
Well, we got around to being intoxicated on the air by pre-recording this.
That's right. That's right. I wish you and the family and everybody and all you dangerous leftists at the radio station, KPFT.
KPFT.
Whenever I'm in Houston, I listen to very carefully, and then I turn everybody in I hear on that dangerous leftist radio station, plotting against America and prayer and planning to attack Christmas.
No, we just beat up on each other. We're true progressives.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Circular firing squad since 1968.
Okay, well, I'll talk to you later, Barry.
Good talking to you, Scooter, okay. And thank you so much for having me on your show.
You
my best to everybody.
Okay.
Houston, you're the greatest town in America.
See you later.
Good night.
Bye. And you've been listening to the Barry Crimmins Emergency Radio Rescue Bailout Services Happy Hydrocodone Holiday Gift List Extravaganza on the Innerside Radio Program. Thank you, Barry. My name is Scooter, and I'll see y'all next week.